Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is before us this last Sunday of the church year is in John's Gospel, chapter 20, 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Your fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son. Most of us enjoy playing board games of some kind or another. The first popular board game was created by Milton Bradley in 1860. Some of you may remember that game. It was called the Game of Life originally. And nowadays we know it as Life. And in this game is represented a person's experiences from college to retirement, to earning money, to losing money, to having children, the experiences of life. There are foolish people out there, and we know some, who seem to think that life is really a game. Well, it's a game where there's competition. It's the rich versus the poor. There are winners and losers. But Jesus says that one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. But who believes that anymore? To others, the game of life is about being active. To them, life is doing what they like to do whenever they want to do it. And when they can no longer do the things that they like to do, they really kind of wish that this life would be done with. Generally, humans define life according to their experiences. And so for many, life does not have meaning all by itself. You ever notice there are always adjectives attached to it? People talk about the good life, the bad life, the full life. And then when people die, there are always some who say of that one, he led a full life. His was the fullest life. Those who say that life is not a game people play, but a gift, are closer to the truth, because life that is defined as breath is a gift from God. None of us would breathe in this life and have life at all if it weren't for God. The problem is that the life that merely breathes is not a gift that keeps on giving. The life that merely breathes also takes away. And there are tens of thousands of people in this world who in their minds life is a living hell. And in their ignorance, they cannot imagine a worse life. So I'm suggesting to you today that people are really confused about what life is all about. John knew what life was all about. He tells us in our text. He tells us what life is all about. It's about Jesus Christ. Throughout his gospel, and now again in these verses before us, John writes about the signs that Jesus did during his three-year ministry. In the second chapter of his gospel, he mentions the first miracle, the wedding of Cana, the changing of the water into the wine. But that was only the beginning. Thereafter, Jesus healed many of their diseases, the blind, the lame, the lepers, raising Lazarus and others from the dead. These were the signs that are recorded, and these are only some of the miracles Jesus did. For John tells us Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. And in the last verse of this gospel, John emphasizes this fact by adding that if all the signs Jesus did were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Imagine this. We have only a taste of the miracles Jesus did in 3 years. If the world in his day was anything like our world, can't you just picture that someone or many who had seen Jesus perhaps perform a miracle, when they heard that Jesus was coming to their town, how excited they would be, and would run out and they would tell others, you know, you haven't lived until you see one of the miracles of this miracle man. I can hear people doing that. Because that's the way people think about life. They act similarly in our day. They define their lives by the number of wonderful experiences they can have. They almost think of life as if it's some kind of spectacular circus. You know, the more acts, the better the circus, the better the life. The more you can cram into your earthly days, the more you should feel that you have lived, according to many. And others will often say when they've died, they've lived to the fullest. But notice what John says in verse 31. He says, these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John doesn't say anything about seeing the circus acts, seeing the miracles, experiencing this or that high. None of that. First, he tells us that life comes through believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He doesn't say that life comes by breathing or by living or by enjoying what we have to the fullest. He doesn't say any such thing. Secondly, the life that he speaks about, he says, stands all by itself. Where are the adjectives? Where's the good, the bad, the ugly, the full, the empty? None of that. No such thing. Life stands by itself in these words. Life in Jesus' name. No thrills, spills, excitement, anything like that. Thirdly, John doesn't say that we are to look for these signs in order to live our lives or in order to have life. We're not supposed to search them out. The signs John speaks of were not only miracles, but everything Jesus did or said that pointed him out as the eternal Son of God. John says that the signs already recorded in the gospel are for us to believe that we may have life in Jesus' name. There's nothing missing in the gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ from that which gives us life. Think about that. Life is all about Jesus. All things were made through him, the scriptures say. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. Who do those words come from? They're from John's first chapter. John knew that life is all about Jesus Christ. God's Son already gave us life and breath and everything necessary for our earthly existence in the creation of all things. But he wants us to know that the life is different. The life is as far above earth as the heaven, or above this life as the heavens are above the earth. He's talking about a special life that needs no adjectives. A life is not a circus. This is the life Jesus had in himself. It's because Jesus had this life in himself from eternity that he wrote in John 6 to his disciples, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." Well, think about that. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ speak words that are life and have them recorded in Scripture? Why did he do that? Because man in his darkness doesn't know what life is all about. He has to be told. Life is all about Jesus Christ because he's all about us. I labored over that sentence because I wanted it to be simple. It is simple. Life is all about Jesus Christ because he is all about us. Over the years, I've heard people say really stupid things in their darkness. And I'm talking about church-going people. They say stupid things like, "I'll get back to church when things in my life return to normal." Most of the time, that doesn't happen. I guess normalcy, as they define it, has never happened. It doesn't come. I'll get back to my church when my life returns to normal. Or, how about this one? I can't come to church until I get my life straightened out. Well, on many levels, how many of us get our lives straightened out so that we do everything right? Always. The devil has persuaded these folks to think that life is about them. The devil's put it in their heads that life is about them. Their sins, their weaknesses, their goals in life, their sickness. When it's not about them at all. The life is about Jesus Christ, who's all about us. They take their eyes, their hearts away from Him, who is the life. And they concentrate on themselves. They can't see that life is not about them, but Jesus, because He's all about us. Think about the historical facts. Christ did not come to us all the way from the eternal heavens. Or I should say, we did not come to Him. He came to us from the eternal heavens. We could not come to Him. For the simple reason, as Scripture says, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fell short after the fall into sin, and we've been falling short ever since. We'll never reach heaven unless Jesus comes to us. And so He came to us. But the eternal Son of God, the King of Heaven, came into our human flesh as a lowly carpenter's son. He did not have to come into our world at all. He didn't have to breathe our sin-polluted air. But He did. He already had life. He didn't have to come here to have life. He had the life from eternity. But since He is life and He's all about us, He came for us. I have come, He says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. Think about that. Jesus did not come to live a perfect life in our places so that we might know how to live our lives in order to climb to heaven, as so many believe. You're going to hear about it this Christmas season again. Jesus came to show us how to live and to love, that we can approach God. That's not why He who is the life came to us. He came to live and suffer and die in our places for our sins, that we might have the life. That's the life that's in Himself, the eternal life that He possessed from eternity. And the glory that is His. It's because life is all about Jesus and He's all about us that the words of Psalm 23 mean so much to the Christian. These are not the sentimental words of some stranger, or on a card, or on a funeral program. These words have meaning for us because life is about Jesus and He's all about us. Now listen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Will we fear no evil in the face of death and dying because we have lived a full life? Nuh-uh. No way. I'll say it again. Are we going to fear no evil in the face of death and dying because we, in our estimation or the estimation of others, have lived a full life? No. Not at all. Our comfort and peace will not be in how we have lived, but the life that Jesus lived in our places when He came to us and died for us. You see, because it's about Him and He's about us, we are comforted by those verses in Psalm 23. We will not hear the voice of a sympathetic stranger. We're going to hear the voices of our shepherd king. He's going to say to us in that psalm, don't be afraid. My footprints are already in this valley of death. I've gone through this before you. I've conquered sin and death for you, so that you may have my life, the life that is in me from eternity. Believe the signs that are recorded about me and my life for you. Believe these signs, for they are words of spirit and they are life. Trust me, because I came for you. Our shepherd, savior, and king is coming for us. And as we close out another church year, we all repent of the shortcomings of those lives in this past year that do not reach the glory of heaven. And at the same time, however, we give thanks and we rejoice that life is all about Jesus, because he's all about us. And so we're not going to focus on us. We're going to focus on him. Holy Scripture ends with the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ and those words you heard a few moments ago. The words of the Apostle John. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.